Over the last several weeks, if you've been attending church here at Blacksburg Christian Fellowship, you know that we have been studying the various I am statements declared by Jesus Christ. And just by way of review, maybe you've never even heard of any of these statements, but Jesus said this about himself. He said, I am the bread of life. And Jesus also said that I'm the shepherd. And he says, I am the door. And he said, I am the light. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. That's what Jonah just read from John chapter 11. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, I am the vine. Pretty remarkable statements when you think about it. But then John also records for us, in addition to these seven I am statements, he also records for us seven miracles or seven signs done by Jesus. And it's no accident. In other words, John wants you and I to know, if Jesus is going to make these declarations, he wants you to know that they can be substantiated, that they can be affirmed, confirmed. And so, beginning in John chapter 2, running through John chapter 11, you see these series of miracles. The first one being that Jesus, at a wedding, he took water and he turned it into wine. Then he healed two different men on two different occasions. This Jesus, he healed a nobleman's son. And he healed another man at a pool. And Jesus also fed 5,000. He took five loaves and two fish and he multiplied them. And he fed 5,000 people. And John records for us another miracle of Jesus walking on water. And he records the miracle of a healing of a blind man. This man was blind since birth, and Jesus healed this man. And now we come to the seventh and final miracle, where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And the question is, why? Why the seven I ams coupled with the seven signs? And John answers that question for us in the 20th chapter of his gospel in verse 31. He says, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. God records these miracles so that you and I might believe. And I share that with you because obviously tonight is Christmas Eve and tomorrow is Christmas, where we remember the first coming of Jesus Christ to the world, where we remember all the promises and prophecies and predictions that were stated in the Old Testament have come true in the person of Jesus Christ, where we remember that we who were once separated from God because of our sin have been reconciled through Jesus, and where we remember that Jesus provides eternal life for anyone who believes. Yet amid this life-changing event in which Jesus Christ came to earth to save you and me from our sins and to reconcile us back to God, it's so easy, isn't it, to get caught up in all the festivities and to get caught up in the spirit of Christmas and the magic of Christmas, whatever that is, and lose sight of what the big question is, and that's, do you believe? Do you believe? And that question obviously is not unique with me. It didn't originate with me. In fact, we saw from John 11 that Jesus himself asks that same question to Martha. And just to jog your memory, it's in verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And he said, do you believe this? What a claim Jesus is making. What a remarkable claim. And we're going to look at that claim a little bit more closely in just a second. But I want to give you the context of these words spoken by Jesus. These words were spoken by Jesus to Martha after the death of her brother, Lazarus. And so this was spoken at a very difficult time, very dark time. It was a time of mourning. It was a time of death. And Martha and her sister Mary knew that Jesus had the power to heal their brother. And so they had sent news to Jesus 4 days prior, wanting Jesus to come and knowing that Jesus could heal their brother. But Jesus delayed his arrival for reasons that we cannot get into this evening. He intentionally delayed his arrival and Lazarus died. And as you might expect, both Martha and Mary were deeply saddened at the passing of their brother. In fact, when Jesus finally joined the two sisters, they both independently told Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So it's in the context of this, of losing a loved one, that Jesus makes this most amazing claim. And I want to, again, address this claim, but before we do, I want to share with you one observation just from the context. Life is difficult. Life is hard. There is brokenness all around us. And death is evident that we live in a fallen and broken world. And for some of you, when it comes to this idea of belief, the brokenness that you see in this world is what prevents you from believing in God. You look at the brokenness in your own life, and you look at the brokenness that you observe all around you, and you ask yourself, how can a loving, merciful, caring, compassionate God, how can he allow this? And in response, some of us are just like Martha, where we ask God, where are you? Where are you, God, in the midst of my brokenness? Why aren't you showing up, God? Do you care, God? Do you really care? And if truth be told, these perceptions that God is negligent or uncaring or distant or non-responsive is one of the reasons why we don't believe. But the message of Christmas is that Jesus does care. And Jesus is responsive. And Jesus does see all the brokenness in this world. And he sees all the brokenness in your life. And that's why 2,000 years ago he came. He came for that reason. Because he sees. And because he cares. And though some of you might feel as if God is an absentee father, he is totally engaged in the details of your life. The other day, I was messing around with my phone. And I don't know about you, but when I start messing around with that thing, I discovered that it can do all these things that I had no idea that it could do. And so I'm on this app, which I didn't even know I had, and it pinpointed my location. And of course, I could take my fingers, and if I sort of did this movement, it brought me sort of the picture closer to where I was. But if I started with my fingers together and did this, then it expanded it, right? You ever done it? You're looking at me like, duh, okay? All right, I'm not that good with the phone. You are, I'm not. And so it started off with me in Blacksburg, and then I did this, and it's like, me in the New River Valley, and I did this, and it's me in Blacksburg along the East Coast. Then I do this, and it's me in the United States. And I just keep on doing it. And then it's me in North and South America. And then it did something that I had never seen before. I did it again. And it just scaled it back. So it was like dark. And it was me in Blacksburg looking at the entire world from the heavens. And it made me realize I'm so small. I'm so seemingly insignificant in the big scale of things. I'm so tiny. Yet God is so big. And I thought to myself, I'm just this small little piece on this world. And sometimes the heaviness of the world just seems so great. I'm so small, but the heaviness of the world seems so great. But God is so wonderful that he cares and that he knows all those cares that I carry and that you carry. And that 2,000 years ago, he saw and he remembered that we needed a Savior. And he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's within the context of grief and pain and loss that Jesus comes to Mary and Martha, and by extension to you and me, with these life-changing words. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Notice what Jesus does in this statement. Jesus gets Martha's eyes off of herself and off of her circumstances and on to him. In other words, in her sadness and in her pain, Jesus is saying, Martha, get your eyes on me. Martha, get your eyes on who I am. I am the resurrection and the life. And friends, if we're going to have true belief in Jesus Christ, we must see him for who he is. Yes, Jesus is a good teacher, but that's not all he is. And yes, Jesus is a great prophet, but that's not all he is. And yes, Jesus is a good example for us to model our lives after, but that's not all who he is. Then who is he? He's God. Jesus is God, and everything was created by him and through him and for him. And as God, Jesus has the power to raise the dead. And Jesus has the power to provide eternal life. And one day, when Jesus returns, he will bring the dead back to life. You see, this Jesus, who was born as a baby, didn't stay as a baby. He grew up and he became a man. And eventually he went from the cradle to the cross for you and for me, to the tomb. And then he was raised again. And he ascended to heaven. And one day he will return. And every believer will be raised from the dead and have the opportunity to spend eternity with him. And those of us who are believers, who are alive today, we know and we can live with the promise of eternal life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And it's such an amazing claim that Jesus is making. And after making this claim, Jesus turned to Martha and asked her, "Do you believe this?" Again, it's the question. It's the question of the hour. He says, "Do you believe this?" I'm wondering, and as I was thinking about it, I was asking myself, I wonder what kind of tone he used when he asked that question. Do you think it was harsh? Do you think it was critical? Do you think it was judgmental? I don't think so. I think it was tender. Martha, do you believe this? He wanted her to believe it. He wanted her to see it, to which she replied, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." And again, that brings us to this moment, to this hour, to this question, do you believe this? Do you believe? This account of Lazarus took place and was recorded in order that you and I might believe. You see, Jesus, being true to his word, he raised Lazarus from the dead. But that's not the only proof that you and I have that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. You see, Jesus himself was also raised from the dead. After dying on the cross for my sins and your sins, Jesus was placed in a tomb for 3 days. Yet death did not have the final word. God raised Jesus from the dead, and in doing so, he put death to death. You see, all of us, spiritually speaking, were or currently are like Lazarus. Who do you see yourself like in this story? All of us at some point were like Lazarus. Because of sin, we were born spiritually dead. We were unresponsive to God and to the things of God. Yet God brings us to life by revealing to us the depth of our sin and by revealing to us our need for a Savior. You see, the birth of Jesus is not the end of the story, because Jesus went from the manger to the cross and eventually to the tomb, and the tomb could not contain him. And as the resurrection and the life, Jesus promises eternal life to all who believe. Do you believe? I'm glad you do. Do you believe that, like Lazarus, that you were or are spiritually dead? Do you believe that, like Lazarus, you are helpless and lifeless and in need of a Savior? Do you believe that you are separated from God because of your sin? Do you believe that you deserve God's judgment for your sin? Do you believe that Jesus came to die on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? Do you believe that one day Jesus will return? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe? Some of you do believe. Some of you here today are believers, and I'm thrilled at that. Yet, my encouragement to you who believe is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Because we live in a broken world, and we go through difficult times, and we go through hard times. And sometimes the weight of the world makes us feel like God has forgotten us, or that he's so far away from us that he doesn't see our pain, but he does see. And this Christmas, I would invite you to ponder the thought that God saw and he responded by sending his son, the Lord Jesus, because he does care. Some of you here today do not believe. And I would like to encourage you to turn from your sins and follow the Lord Jesus. Your attendance here tonight, it's no accident. God has recorded the story of Lazarus in order that you might believe. And if this evening you've never made a commitment to follow Jesus, let me invite you to not let this moment pass. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he can be your resurrection and your life, and all you need to do is believe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your word. Thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus. And thank you that 2,000 years ago, your Son came. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And Father, we pray that you would help us believe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.